Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Unmute me.
I don't know why.
Okay.
You are not muted.
Oh, okay.
So
I know you,
the
you
radio
mute
show
me
has been running for 2 minutes without us because it was saying that they were having problems. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but that was weird. So I didn't think it was going to happen at all. All right. So,
yeah.
Whoa. What the fuck was that? You good?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. All right, anyway. So if you've seen the title, Your Government is a Lie and Wants You Dead, that's just, you know, so many words of the truth. Right now, tonight's episode is going to be about direct energy weaponry. So if you ask people in the deep end of the conspiracy theory pool, though GEWs are here already, there's a small body of people who believe themselves to be targeted individuals, stalked, harassed, and attacked by the government or other shadowy groups. And at least some of them believe those attacks are being carried out by the DEWs. Now, through a strange confluence of forces, the paranoia over DEWs is making its way into the discussion about natural disasters. What we're seeing is a convergence of long-standing American fears about government and mind control manipulation of the weather, merging with climate change skepticism as climate science becomes ever more politicized. Well, let's unpack this really fucking fast. Has anyone seen what the aftermath looks like at Camp Fire, the last big fire to happen in California?
No.
My house was on fire. Okay, my house was on fire. All right, it happened very quickly. Like, it happened faster than you would imagine. Fire is very fast. It moves quickly, and it takes everything with it. It doesn't skip stuff. It has to start at a beginning, and it takes on everything as it ends. It doesn't go here and there and skip some parts unless special circumstances. Now, I will tell you some special circumstances. There were a few things that should have melted and did not. But that was not the same. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it's not the same. About what I'm about to describe to you. When you look at the pictures, you see that only certain spots are burned. When whole developments are on fire, it doesn't kind of discriminate. It takes everything with it, especially with the wind and all that stuff happening. It kind of makes it move faster. So, and aluminum wheels, let's just look at the temp here. Okay. Let's see. So, the color of a fire is a rough gauge on how hot it is. Deep red fire is about 600 to 800 degrees Celsius. That's 1,112 to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. Orange yellow is around 1,100 degrees Celsius. That's 2,012 degrees in Fahrenheit. and a white flame is hotter, still ranging from 1300 to 1500 Celsius. That's about 2400 to 2700 degrees Fahrenheit. So what's the lowest temperature? The lowest temperature a fire can survive in depends on the fuel, paper, and it has to be at least 450 degrees. Ethyl alcohol just needs to be around 63. Now, you can light the fuel below its flash point, but that's because the flame heats the media up to that temperature. Now, let's see. Boiling point, melting point, actually, is what it would be called. Melting point of aluminum. 1,221 degrees Fahrenheit. Now let's just go further than that. Wheel rims. Let's see. All right. I got a car that's melting in Australia from fire. The aluminum rims have melted on this car. Since no one has said it yet, the melting point of aluminum is 1,221 degrees Fahrenheit. And since we're on the topic, what we see here is aluminum melted. Steel melts at around 2,750 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 1,510 Celsius, depending on where you are, but will be weakened enough to not be able to hold tons of weight long before that. Just because it isn't at the temperature where it turns to liquid doesn't mean that it isn't getting weakened enough to begin to be shaped by the force of gravity and structural weight. So let's just see. I'm gonna pull up melting ranges and points. Metals and alloys. So aluminum alloy would be like rims, right?
Yeah. Aluminum alloy. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Kind of,
Okay. All right, so let's say aluminum alloy rims.
I don't think there's aluminum in rims.
It's like an aluminum alloy. Hold on, let me see.
I think aluminum is too soft for rims. Real rims? It'd be some kind of alloy, but not aluminum.
Let's see. Someone's already asked this question. In the automotive industry, alloy wheels are wheels that are made from alloy of aluminum or magnesium. Alloys are mixtures of metal and other elements. They generally provide greater strength over pure metals, which are usually much softer and more ductile. So it kind of is a little bit. It's got some in there.
Okay.
So What type of aluminum are the wheels made of? So aluminum wheels, sometimes called alloy wheels, are built with a blend of aluminum and nickel. The majority of wheels today are cast aluminum alloy, meaning they're made by pouring molten aluminum into molds.
Right.
They are lightweight but strong, withstand heat well, and are generally more attractive than steel wheels. Okay, so let's say we got a car. It's got the alloy wheels made out of aluminum and nickel. All right. So, now, we've got our car. We've got our rims. What? So, let's just say it's standing in between some trees. So, we got trees burning, right?
Right.
We're learning shit today. Fire. All right. How hot is fire? So we're talking forest fire. Let's see.
Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires.
All right. Let's see. Let's see. We're learning shit about fire and burning shit.
Yeah. All right.
Fire. Melt. Rims. All right. Aluminum melts at 1,221 degrees Fahrenheit, while wildfires can burn up to 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit, more than enough to lay waste to your rim, a reasonably common wildfire casualty. Authorities said Wednesday that the fire was 0% contained while thousands of firefighters continue to battle the blaze. Let's see. All right. We've got people that are going crazy over this right now. So here's what we know so far. Aluminum melts at 1,221 degrees Fahrenheit, while wildfires can burn up to 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit. That's more than enough to lay waste to rims, correct? Correct. Okay, so that may even be. But here's the thing. Now we're going to move on to the subject at hand. BEWs. No, I'm not giving away my position by throwing on my location. What is wrong with you? Direct energy weapon. Now Lockheed Martin makes them. They make most of our weapons anyway, computer systems and chips and whatnot. All right, so a directed energy weapon, a DEW, is a ranged weapon that damages its target with highly focused energy, including laser, microwaves, and particle beams. Potential applications of this technology include weapons that target personnel, missiles, vehicles, and optical devices. Did you understand that?
Slow it down a little bit. You talk so fast. Slow it down. Okay.
What?
Slow it down.
I'm not reading that a second time.
Just read it again.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
All right, go ahead.
I'm moving on. You missed it. Your brain is too slow. So anyway, the Pentagon shifts focus on directed energy weapons. And this was back in September 5th, 2019. Artist concept of Helios laser system will be aboard a U.S. destroyer, created by Lockheed Martin. The Department of Defense is focusing its directed energy weapons research on technologies ready to field now, placing on the back burner plans to create more complex space-based technology. The Pentagon's head of research said on Wednesday, exploring the usefulness of directed energy, specifically figuring out how to increase the wattage of these weapons, is the Pentagon's focus now. So they're not saying these weapons don't exist. So now we have proof. And literally, it's a fucking laser on the front of a fucking destroyer on the ocean. A boat. Alright. So, We're looking at high-power microwaves. We're deferring work on neutral particle beams indefinitely. It's just not near enough term. Now, they shelved the plan to develop systems that are years away from initial testing in practical terms. Now, the neutral particle beam is a real game changer because it's a space-based directed energy capability from strategic and regional missile defense. The MDA will design, develop, and conduct a feasibility demonstrated of the first-stage accelerator subsystem, according to the Fiscal Year 2020 Research Development Test and Evaluation Department wide project justification. The Pentagon planned neutral particle beam spending of $34 million in the next fiscal year, but we can't have food in schools, education, health care, you know. But we could do this. It's going to be up to $380 million during the next 4 years. The funding would be used to conduct detailed systems engineering of technology. The idea is to use neutral particles to bombard incoming targets with enough energy to disrupt, incapacitate, or kill the threat, according to the FY 2020 project justification. Instead, his preference now is to invest in the directed energy capabilities that can be fielded now, so researchers can get into figuring out how to improve them. So we've already had them. We've already been using them. The Navy, for example, plans to install a high-energy laser and integrated optical dazzler with surveillance Helios weapon systems aboard the West Coast-based Arleigh Burke-class flight IIA destroyer in 2021. So it's going to be a boat with a freaking laser beam on it. So we already have that in satellites, by the way. Are you catching up yet?
Yes. No, I'm understanding. I understand what's going on. Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Yes. Where do you want to look? Keep going.
Three reasons why all of this is questionable. Now, I want to move in on to something else. Because all of this geoengineering has everything to do with everything. HARP laser systems. They have a laser beam also. The High Frequency Active Oral Research Program. Secret weapon used for weather modification. I actually live not too far from one in Colorado.
HARP.
It's the most powerful ionosphere in physics today. Great, my phone's downloading. Most powerful ionosphere heater on Earth. Let's see. When stimulated with high-intensity radio waves, the ionosphere responds with baffling and beautiful displays. Our modern world of Wi-Fi, smartphones, and location apps relies on radio waves to link up all of our gadgets. Most of us, though, are unaware of such things as they're going on. Also, that the ionosphere high above the Earth affects the location services in our phones and the directions relayed by the navigation units in our cars. The complex dynamics of the ionospheric plasma, a gas of electrons and ions enveloping our planet, can be studied by research facilities such as the High Frequency Active Aurora Research Program, located in Alaska. During the past 15 years, HARP has produced many interesting and expected results, perhaps most spectacularly, the production of an artificial ionospheric plasma generated by radio waves. So basically, creating weather. Atmospheric shrapnel, The atmosphere, the ionosphere is in the region of the upper atmosphere characterized by a large population of free electrons and ions. The atmospheric shrapnel that arises when UV photons from the sun knock electrons from atmospheric gas. For a tour of the upper atmosphere, one would need to understand the densities that is controlled by the relative rates of ion production and the recombination of, I've never seen that word. I thought it was going to say recommendation. It says recombination of ions with electrons to recreate neutral molecules. The ionosphere begins at an altitude of about 70 kilometers. Each is a peak daytime density of something like a million particles per cubic centimeter near 250 kilometers and tapers off about above that. The altitude to blend into a much more rare field plasmasphere, magnetosphere, and solar wind. The ionospheric plasma can distort and delay satellite communications and navigation signals passing through it. Indeed, the primary practical motivation for studying the ionosphere is to get a handle on those effects. At the low power of day-to-day devices, the ionosphere plasma can alter radio waves, but the plasma itself is unaffected. So now we have a little bit of info on that. So now we know what we're working with. I hope you understood that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
No? Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes. I get little bits and pieces. I'm picking, like, dude, you know me. You're teaching.
Well, I know, it's
I'm
a lot of big
listening. I'm listening. Yeah, I hate you.
Well, the Alaska facility has been blamed for an epicenter trigger tremor. Basically, they caused a fucking mass earthquake. And that was in 2018. And this has been sitting set up since 1993 and is run by the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy. They're literally weaponizing the planet. There was a story that had come out by a journalist who's now been murdered. I think he was killed along with like 22 others. There's a story, and it, like, came out briefly because it, as quick as it was out, it was gone. He got blamed for a hurricane that hit a, like, small village on a fucking desert in Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they said that we sent it to them. Using our weather modification system.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. Now, Campfire, California. Did the government start these fires with lasers? Now,
what I'm asking you is, what is their point for doing all of this? Like, for so people could understand why they're doing this? Is it for the New World Order?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. But I know that the Georgia Guidestone says that 85% of the world's population has to be cold. So there's only a few ways. Think about it. Campfire is mostly expensive homes. So essentially, they're upper middle class. Guess what? Those people who lost their homes there, their insurance aren't covering them anymore. They're not getting replacement homes there. they're pretty much displaced. But guess what? All the rich people were able to hire private firefighters.
No, because LeBron James lost. I think he lost his home in that fire.
Because he was busy and didn't hire private firefighters. The Kardashians didn't lose their home. There were several people that got firefighters who are rich, and some didn't because they simply weren't there to fight the fire.
Oh, because he was fucked up, dude. Like, he couldn't even get a place to stay with him and his family or nothing. Like, he was, it was bad. And he's like a superstar. So, like, he can get a hotel. What's that?
He's black, right?
LeBron James, a basketball player.
Yeah, where was he?
In California.
Was he in fire or?
Yeah, his house was part of that fire that happened, and I'm pretty sure he lost his house, and he had to get his family out to evacuate or whatever, and he couldn't get a hotel, he finally found some place later, but he had to leave the county, like go way out of county to find a place to settle in with him and his family. That was kind of shocking to me because
Yeah. Who
wouldn't want to fucking, you know?
Well, you know they had to evacuate, so. All right, so anyhow, California is in the grips of the deadliest and most destructive wildfires in state history. And as the death toll rises, some bizarre conspiracy theories are emerging about what may have caused them. The two raging infernos known as the Camp or Paradise Fire, it was probably Paradise, and Woolsey Fire have killed 63 people and 630 remain unaccounted for. Entire neighborhoods have been reduced to rubble and some 12,000 homes destroyed. And frustratingly for locals and authorities alike, the cause of these killer fires are still unknown. Without a clear scapegoat for the fires, the internet has gone into overdrive with conspiracy theories. One of the most popular is that the trigger for the mammoth blazes was targeted lasers. These huge lasers, the theory claims, are likely to have been operated by a sinister source. Most likely, they claim, is a terrorist organization or aliens or the United States government itself. I'm going with the government. Because, let me tell you something. Conspiracy theories are just theories until they're proven true. My friend Josh, way back when, he was telling me about drones. And he told me a bunch of different things. And I remember not really understanding what he was saying and not taking it too seriously. Sometime, like 2 years later, I got a message from him on Facebook. He was very distraught, and he seemed really freaked out. And he was talking about FEMA camps and martial law and drones and all these things that are going to happen, and they're building camps, and people are going to get put in death camps, and he was really freaked out. I haven't heard from him in a very long time. I don't know what happened to him.
Damn.
But he was right about the drones. And people are technically being thrown in death camps right now. So, I don't know. A lot of things that were... Oh, chemtrails. They're fucking there. There's a difference between a contrail and a chemtrail. The X's in the sky that fall on your house. Those are poisons. You're not supposed to be breathing that in. That's not adorable. Those used to be a conspiracy too. But there's a fucking in the sky. And I had one fall on my house before. So, Some theories go even further, calling the lasers directed energy weapons. We just read about these and that they exist. Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you see what they did?
Yeah.
Do you see this? Do you hear what I'm reading you? We just proved that they are real. They do exist. The government said they're fucking working on making them better. They're putting one on a ship. This is what I'm talking about. They put out these stories to try and be like, oh, if you've heard this, you're wrong. This is why it's harder to call Americans than it is to call, let's say, what they're doing to the Mexicans, because they're sending them up here in hordes. They don't want them there because they want to get rid of their poorest people. Time to wake the fuck up. Your government wants you to die slowly, but quickly, too, and without needing any help. Now, they don't go as far as to say why the government might be shooting California with lasers, but the opportunity for speculation is right. Now, I've seen videos of things, and I've seen what looks like fucking lasers shooting out of the sky, and it's weird. It is weird. So, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you I know for fact. I'm going to tell you that I think it kind of is that way. That's what I'm saying. Well, in one theory, which is more plausible than the above, yet no less shocking, is that the campfire, more deadly than of the two, was started by downed power lines at the PG&E power plant. Essentially, these motherfuckers never updated their shit, never kept up with safety, precautions and whatnot. They did not update anything. So essentially, could that have caused one of the greatest fires that they have ever seen? Very possible, but that still does not explain why it looks like it's been burned out with a magnifying glass. A lot of areas are not hit where others are. Fire is consuming. It consumes. It eats everything around it. So I'm not so sure. What do you think, Sean?
I don't even know how to go about that, man. Like, I don't even know what kind of answer you want from me right now.
Well, that's why I asked what you think. It's not about what you think I want to hear. It's what you think.
Dude, you're like teaching me right now, so I'm like listening to you. I mean,
you don't have any thoughts on this? You don't think? Not that hard.
Just doesn't. He's like,
wow.
Listen. I mean, my opinion on this stuff is like totally, it was like, dude, you changed my whole focus on how and why these people are doing all this stuff now. Before I had my own opinions, like, first of all, they doing all this, why? What is their main objective for doing this shit? First of all, I would like to know, is it because they want to get rid of everybody they feel is not equipped to live as an American? Or, like, what is their point? First of all.
All right.
Do they want to take control of
them? Those are all very good questions. Yeah, basically, because the religion can only be returning what they want to. I got...
So...
I have 7 minutes. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing my tarot show.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, so 7 minutes. Let's go. Well, I got 27 bizarre facts about the Georgia Guidestones. What the heck is this weird Stonehenge-like structure in rural Georgia? And why do the messages inscribed on them predict the end of the world? Let's see. No one knows who put it there. No one knows who paid for it. And they don't understand what exactly is meant by them. Number one, the Georgia Guidestones are twice as tall as the Stonehenge. Nearly 250,000 pounds of granite was used to make them. The stones have 10 messages inscribed on them. They read, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. That's all the earth. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, meaning eugenics and picking out the perfect bodies, weeding out sick. Unite humanity with a living new language, one order, one language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. That can go many ways. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. These 10 messages are written on the guidestones in 8 different languages. Those languages are English, Swahili, Russian, Spanish, Sanskrit, Hebrew, Arabic, and Chinese. No one knows who paid for the construction. As the story goes, an elegant, well-spoken, well-dressed, and gray-haired man, who identified himself only as R.C. Christian, appeared at a granite company in nearby Overton, Georgia. One day, requesting a quote on the project, figuring he was some nut, the granite specialist purposely claimed a ridiculous price, figuring Mr. Christian would balk. Instead, he agreed to the price. Some people suspect the Rosicrucian order financed the project. Since Rosecross Christian, a.k.a. Christian Rosenkreuz, was the founder of the mystical society, the Rosicrucian order, many suspect that they were financed the building of the Georgia Guidestones. Others suspect that Ted Turner financed the project, since Ted Turner of CNN fame is located a mere 100 miles away in Atlanta, and since many of the stated globalist goals reflect the message of the Georgia Guidestones, it has also been suggested that he is the mystery patron behind the giant granite slab. The project's builders had to sign a legal agreement never to reveal the identity of the financiers. They also swore to destroy all legal papers regarding the Guidestones' construction once the project was finished. The message of the Georgia Guidestones seems to call for at least 90% of the Earth's population to be wiped out. The passage about maintaining humanity at a population of 500 million or less would require a massive dying off of humanity, the likes of which we've never seen. This is what has led many conspiracy theorists to allege that whoever financed the Guidestones, they are in cahoots with an evil New World Order project to ostensibly depopulate the planet. Yoko Ono called the Guidestones a stirring call to rational freedom. Apparently, the Beatles' widow is fine with seeing 6.5 billion humans wiped out. And I kind of am. We deserve it. The stones were defaced with graffiti in 2008. The spray paint message was death to the New World Order. About that New World Order thing, whoever paid an astronomical sum to build a giant set of tombstones calling for massive depopulation, a single world language, and a world court definitely didn't see a use for national borders. The Guidestones were designed to withstand catastrophic events, events such as a world war that wiped out 6.5 billion people, as the world lay in ashes somewhere, R.C. Christian and his cohort could take a little comfort that at least their giant, creepy tombstone was still standing way out in rural Georgia. Some claim they are satanic in origin. This includes the right-wing pundit Mark Dice, who claims that they are of a deep satanic origin and that R.C. Christian was a member of the Luciferian Society with the ties to the New World Order. Others have referred to the 10 messages inscribed on the guidestones as the 10 commandments of the Antichrist. Others claim that they are intended to be seen by the survivors of the nuclear war. Since the Georgia Guidestones were built in 1979 at the height of the Cold War between the USA and the Soviet Union, that many thought would inevitably result in nuclear apocalypse, writers such as Brad Meltzer suggest that the Guidestones were meant to be seen by that war's survivors, at which point the world's population would already be below half a billion. A mysterious time capsule is allegedly buried nearby. A tablet erected near the Guidestones claims that a time capsule is buried near the tablet. Although there is no proof the capsule really exists and no suggestion of what is written on it. R.C. Christian presented builders with a shoebox containing a wooden model of the monument along with 10 pages of extremely detailed specifications. Many of the specifications involved using the Guidestones as an astronomical guide, as explained in the next few items. The Guidestones were purposefully designed to track the sun's east-west migration around year-round. During an equinox or solstice, those who stand at the west side of the mail slot carved into the Guidestones will see a sunrise over the horizon. The four outer stones are positioned to mark the limits of the 18.6-year lunar declination cycle. An eye-leveled hole is drilled into the center stone, permits viewers to locate the North Star. A small hole drilled through the capstone serves as a sundial. At noon every day, a reading of where the sunbeam hits the center column allows one to pinpoint the exact day of the year. R.C. Christian and his cohorts allowed the landowners full cattle grazing rights and a small gesture of generosity. The mysterious backers of the Georgia Guidestones so permitted the owners of the land on which they were built to allow their cattle to graze on it for their entire natural lives, or until a nuclear war that wipes out 90% of the world's population, whichever comes first. In his film Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Alex Jones claims the Guidestones represent a genocidal depopulation program sponsored by the world's financial elite. The Georgia Guidestones have been called America's most mysterious monument. In 2009, a man stole a 6-inch cube. Shit! My phone is shutting down like a bitch! Well, that's all the time we have for today. I was reading that shit off my phone, and of course, it's fucking dying because my kid decided she was going to steal it from me and hide and play the damn fucking thing.
Oh, geez.
But we'll get more on that. So your government wants you dead, and that's not just America. That's all governments, and that's the fucking tea.
Good night, beep.
And that's the fucking tea. Bye! Oh,
bye.
Next conspiracy I tell you about, it's going to be, well, you're going to love my next. You're going to love my next. Then we're going to have to go on about this Pazuzu character. Find out on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. Bye! Oh, wait. I forgot. And remember, kids. Every hand you shook had a dick in it. And that's the tea.